from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Stay standing, please. Let's pray. It's a great, we're moving to that all the time because we come in here in all kinds of different ways. And sometimes it's a full-on celebration, and sometimes we're just dragging each other in and dragging ourselves in. And sometimes we just need to focus and to just be. So let's pray. Dear God, Amen. All right, have a seat. So she's not here, but I hope that she's watching, and I want to thank Joy and say how fun it must be. It was this week to think about being Christ's ambassadors everywhere we go. So hopefully she can do that again really soon, and I can guarantee you it won't be the last time that we see her. Now, there are two really, really, really nice celebrations that we have today. One, Mariah got a job, and two, Sue passed this huge fancy test that she's been studying and going to school for. So can we please? Outstanding, congratulations. Okay, open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John 2 is where we are. And it is not an overstatement at all to say this is one of the most important messages that I've ever given on a practical, everyday level, a practical, everyday way that we can tikkun olam, which is a Jewish phrase that means repair the world. So this, I think, is the thing that can bring everything together for us and really, really change our hearts, our heads, our thoughts, our patterns, and the world around us. So, we're in 1 John, which is towards the end of the book, maybe, 9/10 of the way through the Bible. And we're going to get through like 5 or 6 verses today. We're going to fly. All right, so we start in chapter 2, verse 6. And it's a big one. This is a big verse. It's a big verse, and it starts with, "Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did." And the NIV says it, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." And that's one of those statements that make you go, "What? Really? That's the bar? That's the bar that we have to do?" And talk about setting yourselves up for failure, setting all of us up for failure. What are we supposed to do about that? And it's big. It's big. But the thing that we immediately go to, what we start thinking, isn't what John's saying at all. Because if you look back at 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves, we're only lying to ourselves. John knows that we can't live a sinless life. He understands the humanity of us. He is not saying that we have to be Jesus. He's not saying that we have to live a sinless, perfect life. He's not talking necessarily about miracles, and certainly isn't talking about perfection. David Guzik says, his everyday walk with God the Father, that's what John's talking about. His everyday walk with God the Father. The spiritual power evident in the life of Jesus flowed from a faithful, regular, disciplined life of fellowship and obedience. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about how we live our everyday lives, how we move, how we live and breathe, how we are sustained, our focus. Boyce says, the point here is that the one who knows God will increasingly lead a righteous life, for God is righteous. It doesn't mean that it'll be sinless. John has already shown that anyone who claims this is lying. It simply means that he'll be moving in a direction marked out by the righteousness of God. If he does not do this, if he is not increasingly dissatisfied with and distressed by sin, he's not God's child. And that last little phrase makes you go, ouch. Ouch, I don't like it when you say it like that. But it's kind of undeniable. Let me read this again. It simply means he'll be moving in a direction marked with the righteousness of God. If he doesn't do this, if he's not increasingly, not talking about being there, not talking about being the finished product, nobody's looking at you. We are all at different places on the path, right? We're all at different places. That's where we run into trouble. We sometimes expect everyone to be where we are, or we expect us to be where they are, or all of these things. All that's happening here is we are moving in a direction. we are increasingly dissatisfied with and distressed by sin. That's all he's saying. If you look at the Beatitude, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you just want. You hunger for these things. You're moving in a different way. So when he says at the end, you're not God's child, that hurts. That hurts, and it makes you go, ah, don't say it like that. That's the problem with Christians. They're like this, and that's what that feels like. But it's really an undeniable truth. We're called to be walking in a certain direction, in a certain path, on a certain path, which they call the skinny path, the narrow path. We are called to be walking on that path. We're called to be moving in a certain direction. That's it. That's it. So, no matter where we are on the path, as long as we're on the path, right? As long as we're on the path. I heard it said one time, and this is going to make complete sense. When you read in the Bible, forgive your brother, forgive your enemies, love your enemies. Well, I can't do that, okay? A guy said, all we're looking at today is to just start to think that maybe you could not hate them as much as you did yesterday. Just be on the path. Just be on the path moving in a certain direction. And God will take you. God will take you. But get on the path. That's what he's saying. That's what it means to live a life of a faithful, regular, disciplined life of fellowship and obedience. That's what this means. So before we get all down on ourselves because we're not perfect and we're not sinless, when he says live as Jesus did, that's what he's talking about. Okay, so now we come up with, there's some questions here that are going to take us apart today. And here it is. Here's the first one. Are we? Are we? Are we on the path? Are we increasingly dissatisfied with and distressed by sin? Now, when we say that, we're talking about our sin, but also the sin of the world. Do the same things that break God's heart break ours? Right? Does it hurt? Does it hurt? When we get off the path, when we follow what Paul and the writers of the New Testament call our flesh, does it hurt? When we act out of selfishness, selfish ambition, does that hurt us? When we live in resentment, when we live in bitterness, when we act out of that, does it hurt? Those questions. And then the next one, are we lying about our faith, our trust, our lives? Are we lying with our lives? Sheesh, nobody said it was going to be easy, right? They just said it'd be worth it, okay? Requires everything from us. Our lives require everything from us. But what we get is everything. What we get is Jesus, right? So, now, that was a tough way to start. We're, 5 minutes in? And we're all laying down like this going, oh, man, that's enough. So, how did Jesus live? That's what I want to know. I want to know. When you say, live as Jesus lived, how's that? Okay? Verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new commandment, but an old one which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Now, it's old because we've heard it forever. We've heard it forever. If you've ever picked up the Torah, if you've ever picked up anything, and especially, like John, if you knew Jesus, you've heard this one. And it's in John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Okay? Now, that's the old part. We know that. We've heard that. Love one another. Right? Now, it's new for several reasons. And here David Guzik goes on to put it in a really sweet way. You're going to love this. Okay, one of the most important reasons was that Jesus displayed a kind of love never seen before, a kind we were to emulate, to imitate. The cross points in four directions to show the love of Jesus is wide enough to include every human being, long enough to last through all eternity, from before the beginning to after the end, deep enough to reach the most guilty sinner, and high enough to take us to heaven. Right? Right? Four ways. Four ways. This is a new love, a love the world had never really seen before the work of Jesus on the cross. Amen. Amen. Now, notice also when John starts to go into all this, he goes back to the light and dark theme. Right? John, this is how John sees things. And remember how he sees things. Light, it means God. It means you're living with God in relationship, walking with him. And just like we talked about before, it means you're on the path. It means you're on the skinny path. You're moving. You're moving in a certain direction. Darkness means everything else. Now, I have issues. I have issues, and they used to cause me an awful lot of trouble. An awful lot of trouble. They still cause me trouble, but they stop a little bit short. And once I fell in love with Jesus, those issues changed. And it's what you would call probably depression. But now I just call it darkness for this specific reason. Because that's exactly, it feels that way, and that's exactly what it is. I call this thing that happens, because it feels and looks like darkness. It dims everything, it dulls everything. Colors get dim. The sharpness of the world gets dark. I can't see things the way, I don't feel things the way that I usually do. It's a darkness that descends. I think about it like that, in much the same way that John thinks about it. But really what it is, it's a separation. It's separation, and that's all John's talking about. Okay, it's a separation from God. So when he says light and dark, just think of it that way. Light, you're on the path. And all of these things that come up, maybe change your words, maybe change it to darkness, and then you know it as the separation that it is. Right? And once I did that, then, I mean, you still feel it, and it still hurts. We still live, right? Anybody who tells you that living a life after Jesus is going to get real, real easy, they're lying to you. They're trying to sell you something, is really what they're trying to do. It still hurts. I would maybe suggest that it hurts more. Because, just like we said earlier, the things that break God's heart should break yours. And now living in a world that's so divided, so disconnected, so angry, it should hurt every day. If you're on the path, if you're moving if you're increasingly distressed by, and gosh, if that came out real smooth, it would have really brought it home, but it didn't. It didn't. If you're increasingly dissatisfied with and distressed by this stuff, that's a spiritual life, right? So. And it's part of darkness. Darkness comes with it. Darkness comes with it. In our lives, we'll have this. In your lives, you will have trouble. Okay? We have this. Storms come. When the storms come, what do? Okay? So that's where we are. That's what he means by darkness and light. Don't get hung up. But put that. Keep that. Keep that with you. If you start to look at things in terms of that, it can be a little easier to find the path. Okay? Now, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light, okay, here's some verses that, man, okay. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves, okay, now, there's four words for love. This is written in Greek, and there's four words for love in Greek. They don't use the same words we do when we say, I love my shorts and I love my wife. Right, we use the same word and think that it's good enough. It's not. Greeks have four words. Eros is the romantic love. And then they have two that are kind of the same, which is storge and philia. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. You can remember it that way. That's the kind that you love each other. You love your brothers. You love your friends. It's kindness. It's the good feeling. It helps you move a buddy. That's philia. Okay? And then there's the last one, which is agape. That's the one he's talking about. Sadly, I'm sorry, because those other ones you kind of want to. Agape doesn't care if you want to. Okay? Agape is the kind that asks us to love our enemies. And it's an active love that asks us to do something. You know how when something bad happens and you say love and prayers, or you walk by somebody cold and say, I'm praying for you, that is an agape. Agape prays for them and gets a coat. Okay? That's agape love. And that's what we're called into, even though I don't know him. If you're cold and I get you a coat, that's philia. Okay, that's the kind of love that we do for each other because we love each other. Okay, that's a good way to think about it. But he's asking us into agape. To agape their brother and sister, which is adelpho. And John's writing this to the church. Okay, so mostly he's talking about us in here. Okay, you can take that out too. And I would suggest that we do. I would suggest that Jesus asks us to take it out and to see everybody as our brothers and sisters. But John's writing to the church. Okay, so John's mostly talking about how we are with each other. Their brother and anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Put another way, by a writer named Paul, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Those things should deeply unsettle us. They should be deeply, deeply unsettling. Right? Again, my guy David Guzik says, it's all too easy for people to place ministry or being right above love in the body of Christ. We must do ministry and we must be right, but we must do it all in love. If not in perfect actions, then following with proper repentance. Okay? Now, here's where things are really going to get hard for us. This is where the unsettling part of all of this comes. Are we clanging cymbals and resounding gongs? Are we showing love in every situation, in every circumstance, with everything we do? There is a song that says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Will they? I know. Will the guy I cut off on the way here know I'm a Christian? Will the guy that I beeped my horn at the other day know that I'm a Christian by my love? Is that love? This is what the revival, this is what the kingdom revolution is all about. And it requires of us. It requires of us. It asks of us. What we were talking about with the order earlier when we were doing the rededication and the reckoning and all that stuff. We know a condition. We know the gift. And then the gift, the very size of the gift requires a response. Now, if we don't respond, then we just become the guy that crawled into the cave in Indian Echo Caverns and stayed there forever worshiping God, thinking how wonderful it was that he was saved. Okay? It becomes a faith that goes like this. It's just me. It's just me and God. And that's awesome. Except for in Genesis 2, that's not the plan. That exact thing is called not good by God. Okay? Now, there is a last part of what he said, We must do it all in love. If not in perfect actions, then following with proper repentance. The last part, when we fall. When we fall, to quote Taylor Swift's best song, if you ask me, begin again. We begin again. We return. We repent. That's what repent is. And that's why everybody says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Where the way that we're going, all it is saying, hey, turn back to the skinny path. Turn back to the narrow path that we're talking about. Get back on the path and keep walking. Okay? Just return to the path. Okay. Requires of us. Now, here's the thing. You know when somebody says something or teaches or whatever. Does anybody ever listen to talk radio? Oh, just me. Okay. So, I bet that a lot of people do because it's a huge industry. So I think that you're just not telling me the truth. So you say something, and you might be right. You might be totally right on. But the person who's saying it, the person who's teaching it, isn't doing it. Are you familiar with that? If you've ever been to a church before, and you're in church right now, have you ever thought, that thing that guy's telling me, he's not doing it at all? Right? Now. With that, there's a bit of a dissonance, right? There's a disconnect. There's an obstacle. There's an obstacle that's put up in our way, and it's what we call hypocrisy, right? When people say people in the church are hypocrites, that's what they mean. They say one thing and they do another. They are actors. Okay, you with me so far? This is what John calls lies. We're all there. We might not call them lies, but it's that dissonance. It's that thing that gets in the way. If I say to you, you cannot be wearing shorts to church, it is a serious place, and you dress up like you're going out, are you going to believe me? Maybe I'm right. Are you going to believe me? What if I get up here and say, it's a terrible idea, everybody's eating way too much cake, and you guys need to stop the cake? You would go, come on, man. I don't believe you. Maybe I'm right. Maybe we are eating too much cake. Maybe you shouldn't have any cake at all. But you know that I'm eating it. This huge example, when I first started to wrestle with this, is Rush Limbaugh. Has anybody ever heard of Rush Limbaugh? I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. And I kind of liked him because he was funny. But he was ruthless against drug addicts. Ruthless. Just took the hardest line you can imagine. Then it came out that he was a drug addict. Now, that presents a really, really interesting paradox, because can he be right while getting in the way? Right? See what I mean? He could have been right. He could have been 100% right with his... And at the time, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell because I needed that stuff to line up. I needed his behavior to line up with his feelings. So I couldn't even think about if he was right. I needed a lot more black and white in my life. Okay? So that's the thing that got in the way. I had a really hard time listening to Rush Limbaugh after that, because I thought, I wonder if anything you're telling me is true. That you actually believe, that it's true enough to change your life, right? Have you ever been there? Sometimes you go to a church, you hear about church pastors falling. There are statistics out that the church has historically taken a very hard line on pornography. And then if there's a lot of statistics that say it's a ridiculous number of pastors who have a problem with pornography. I don't want to hear you talk about pornography. There's that thing that says, I don't want to hear you talk about pornography while you're going home and clicking on those sites, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Nope. Okay. Here's the thing. It doesn't change that the message is right, but can it be heard? Right? Or are our lives making so much noise? Are our clanging gongs and cymbals making so much noise we can't even really hear the message? If the God we serve is a God of mercy and love, but we aren't, if we're instead about winning and pride and nastiness and respect and give me what I deserve, are we really serving the God of the Bible? That's what John's asking. That's what John's asking. Are we really? I can just, oftentimes I hear these guys' voices, how I picture them, when we go, I love God, I'm following God all the time, and I can just hear Paul going, really? Are you? But I think I hear his voice really gruff and nasty because I think that he wasn't a nice guy. So that's how I hear it in my head. John, I can hear him going, really? Are you, man? Give me a hug and let's talk about light and dark. That's how I hear John in my head. The thing is, if we have our messages right, totally right, if our doctrine is 100% right, but we aren't living in the light, if we aren't living in love, so what? So what? Right? Who cares? Who cares? For the first half of, it's got to be a half of my life now. That's how old I am. For the first half of my life, I stayed out of churches, and I didn't trust any of them, and I had a deep, deep dislike for them. Because of Christians. Because Christians weren't showing love in any way that I could understand. So I didn't have any use for any of that. So I got everything all confused. They may have had the right message, and I'm sure some of them did. I'm sure a lot of them did. But I couldn't hear it. Their lives were talking too loud. I couldn't hear their words. Right? We don't listen to gongs and symbols. It's simply noise. Right? Picture this. If I have a strobe light, you know what a strobe light is? It's that light that flashes all the time. And it's a huge, really bright strobe light, and I sit it right there, and GC plays that beautiful video in the beginning, and all you see is the strobe light happening. You're missing the video, man. If the strobe light and I have some like house electronic music pounding in the background, you're missing it. We're missing the beauty of that message just because of all the noise and the cymbals and the gongs, right? So before we dive into the next deep water, because it's coming, what's agape? We spend a lot of time. We've spent a lot of time before on agape. But what I want to ask you to do today is ask God. Ask God. These questions that we come up with, I just want you to use the way that you understand. I want you to let God minister you here. We're not going to talk about the definition of agape love anymore, okay? I just want you, as we say these things, to think of the things that come up, because I am convinced that so many of us know, but we go through all these gymnastics to rationalize our behavior. So I want you to just be really, really open, because there are times where you're going to go, ouch. Listen to that. Listen to that. Be open and allow yourselves to be convicted. Because the one that causes that ow will heal it too. Okay? So, here we go. Are ours lives of love? Are our words loving? Are our actions loving? Are the way that we live our lives loving? Are they full of grace? Are we full of grace to each other? Are the things coming out of us life-giving? Are they building up rather than tearing down? Are they encouraging? Are they kind? And if you haven't noticed by now, I'm cherry picking these out of the Bible. Right? Is that what's coming out of us? What's coming out of our pores and our mouths and our eyes? How important are our eyes right now? How important? And you can see everything from everybody today. I saw my boy today. My dad, I have issues with my dad, but my dad was a genius. He knew who I was and where I was just by looking in my eyes. From the time I was a kid, I'd walk out and he'd just look at me. And he'd look me straight in the eye, and then he goes, "You're getting sick." And I would go, "I'm not sick. I feel great. I'm Superman. I'm made of steel." And he'd go, "Okay." And then 2 days later, I'd be sick. Now, there's a chance that he was speaking into that. You know, there's a chance. But there's also, I know that this is true. I can, when I walk by people, I look in their eyes, and I know. Whether I say anything, I try to. But you know if they're hurting. You know if it's a good day. You know how they walked in that door. Whether they lie or not. Whether they lie about it or not, I'm fine. Because we're conditioned to, that's what we do. We say fine all the time. Okay? But you can see so much. Just look in somebody's eyes. You can see. You can see. Are the things coming out of our eyes loving? Are the things that are coming out of our hands loving? The messages we're sending with our posture. When you're talking to somebody and they're like this in front of you. For instance, she just did it. Now, I don't think that she's sitting in a posture of rebellion. I don't think so. But you know when people are. I stand up here and there are people who sit and I know that you're not with me. You're not cool at all. You can be this and that's fine, Sal. I don't mind. But sometimes you turn your back a little to me. I know exactly where you are. I know what I've said. You see this all the time. You see it all the time. We all have those little gives. Just pay attention. They're really, really interesting to find. I'll stop there. I'm not going to tell anybody's gives. Isn't that terrible? But you can see where people are. So what's coming out of us? What's coming out? Even when we're called to confront, because we are. That's love too. To have a hard conversation is love too. But even then, when we are called to speak truth, we can do this with love. We have to do this with love. We can do this. Last night, I barked at my kid. And it wasn't in love at all. Okay? That happens. There are other times where I bark at my kid and it's in absolute love. Okay? I know my heart. And you know your heart too. How you come to it. Maybe you don't know your heart. Ask God to reveal it to you. I think that we don't spend enough time on that part. We spend an awful lot of time on what we believe, but we don't spend an awful lot of time on how to do the relationship with God. And that's a bit of an intention today, to just sometimes stop and say, show me. Show me. Open me up and take a look and show me the parts of me that you need me to see, okay? We can do these hard conversations. We can do this confronting. We can do this truth speaking in love, in kindness, certainly in respect, with the other's growth and well-being in mind and heart, right? We can do that. And I would suggest that if we can't, we should not even try to wade into those waters. We can't, because that's where the damage happens. Right? That's where damage happens, and that's where abuse happens. Because if I'm talking to you because I need you to do it the way I say, that's just a whole big muddy garbage can. Now, we are called to love one another. We are called to love every human being, all, right? Do you hear that? Every human being, we are called to love everybody. Do you hear me say that? Now, who's part of everybody? Are you? Ah, see, we knew we were going to get there, right? How are the words that you're using towards yourselves? How are the words that you're using in your own head? If I make a mistake, if I get up here one day and I can't get a coherent thought out, if everything's a mess, okay, and my zipper's down and my shirt's torn and stained, at the end of it, you would say to me, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. Don't worry about that. I would ask for your forgiveness, and you would say, it's okay. It's okay. I love you. Everything's cool. In my head, those would not be the words, right? I would never forget about that. It would be a tough week in my house. How about you? How about all of us? What are the words that we're using in our head? What are the words that we're using towards ourselves? Are they loving? Are they kind? Are they building up rather than tearing down? Are they fresh words? Are they words of truth? Are they words coming from the place that knows that you are a child of God? You are made in the image of God. Are those what those words say? Or are you speaking Genesis 3 words to yourselves that tell you you're a mistake? You always get it wrong. You're not enough. You're not worthy. Nobody loves you. I'm very familiar. You might be thinking, boy, how does he know all those? Yeah, I know all those. I know them well. So, let's ask it a different way. Not only is everything coming out of us loving, is everything coming out of us towards us loving as well? Sometimes you got to speak truth to yourself too. Sometimes that there's an uncomfortability because we have to make some changes. And sometimes we have to be very truthful with our own selves. Call that out in our own lives. But there's still kindness. There's still respect. There's still love. There's still growth and well-being in mind. That's much tougher, isn't it? Isn't it? On a lot of levels. Our self-talk is so much tougher to deal with than the way that we treat others. Now, don't look at where we are now, because everybody's horribly mean to each other right now, out and about. But general rule, the way that we talk to ourselves, we would never talk to someone else. So, now here we come to the end. We need to ask before we speak, before we do, before we post, before we hit send, is this love? And I don't really care what words we use. You don't have to say, is this love? You can write it on your hand. And however you want to say it, is it fresh? Is it building? Is it healing? Is it kind? Is it respectful? Is it about them? Is it about God? Or is it about me? Right? So all these questions can be boiled down to, is this love? Is this thing that I'm about to post? Why am I posting it? Why? Is it just so that I can have a fight? Is it just so that I can be disrespectful to people who think the other way? Or am I looking to bring something to the conversation? Am I looking to bring a certain level of understanding to it? Or is it just about me? I'm right, you're wrong, and you need to see it my way. Right? However you ask that question, is it love? Is it love? This is the third, and it is the most important test. And when I say that, you go, test? But I'm telling you, John is doing a super cool thing right now. And next week, we're going to take a step back from the verses and look at what he's doing. Okay? It is such a neat thing. These writers of the scriptures are brilliant, and they're working on so many different levels. And you need to take a step back and look at what's happening. The picture, the giant picture that they're painting, instead of just this brushstroke. Because the brushstroke matters. Matters a lot. But the picture they're painting can just blow your mind. So that's next week. That's next week. This is the third and the most important test. Right? And it doesn't matter. We need to ask the question, is this love? Has anybody ever read the book Animal Farm? I only see like 4 or 5 hands. So, library. Get there. It's like 100 pages. You'll finish it in 2 days, and it'll be your favorite book ever. The end of the book, the end of the book, it's set up a little bit that the people are bad and the animals are good for a lot of the book. The last line of the book, I'm going to ruin it for you. I still got to read it, but I'm going to ruin it for you. The last line of the book says, and the humans and the pigs were arguing, and it was impossible to tell which was which. Now, that is so, that's a bomb right now. Because they're supposed to know we're Christians by our love. They're supposed to know that. But if when they see us on social media, do they know? Do they know? Whoever this they is, do they know? Right? If we're using the same words and the same arguments and the same forwards and the same weapons of war rather than peace, will they be able to tell the difference? Or are the people and the pigs just fighting and fighting and fighting and it's impossible to know which is which? That's the thing that's tearing me apart now. That's the thing that's tearing me apart, because I know so many deeply faithful people and I can't tell the difference. And part of the thing that tears me apart is that sometimes, like last night in my car, I'm acting a certain way that I can't tell the difference. Right? We're called into something different. We're called into remaking a world. We're called to repair this world. Jesus came not with a sword. Jesus came as a baby and died, was put to death by the weapons of this world to show us that there was something different. And when Peter picked up, at the last day, Peter picked up a sword and cut off one of the Roman soldiers' ears. And Jesus put that away, said, put your sword away, and healed that guy's ear. Because if you use the same weapons to solve a problem that was created by weapons, the pigs and the people are talking and it's impossible to tell which is which. And if this isn't unsettling to you, check out your Facebook feed today. If the bridge happens to be on your Facebook feed today, which it is for some of us, isn't that fun? Hopefully it's different. Hopefully it's different, right? So the question is it love? Is this love? This thing I'm about to say, sometimes you got to speak truth. Sometimes you got to say something, right? A lot of the problems that have been caused that we're seeing the fruit of right now have been caused because people didn't say something, right? So sometimes you have to. But the question is, why? Why are we saying them? And is this love? More importantly, is this love? The way that I say it, is it loving? They're supposed to know we're Christians by our love, not by our truth. The cool thing about that is that the truth, if you have the truth, it's got to come out in love, right? Right? Okay. What John is also saying is if these things that we're doing are not in love, if we have gotten off the path, if things have gotten all kinds of messed up, right? The good news, and the Christian fancy way of saying good news is gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ says it's not based on your performance. It's not based on your performance. You're forgiven, you're accepted, you're rescued, and you're loved here, now, as you are. Even if you just got it wrong. Even if last night in the car, you yelled at your kid. Like I did. Right? So now what? Now what? All of those things are true. I was off the path. I was off the skinny path. I made a mess. But I'm still loved and accepted. So what they're saying is, now what? Get back on. Get back on. Repent. That's all they're saying. Repent. Repent. Return. Live the great, big, beautiful life you're called to live. live that great, big, beautiful life that we've all been called to live. The one that we get to live and live it in the light. Live it in the light where all the colors pop. When you get out of bed and say, what's possible today? What do I get to do today? Instead of, oh man, same day. Same day, same stuff, right? It's a different kind of life. It's a different kind of life. Love somebody. Love somebody. And let's start to put a stop to all this garbage, which is so gross and taking us apart. And when we put all that stuff in us, it turns us. It makes us. You remember the thing with the water crystals? Does anybody, it's about time that we do those again. We really need that. We're made up of a lot. I'm not even getting into it. When we speak these words, when we're around these kinds of things, our bodies feel that. Our bodies and our souls are so connected. That's part of the message of Jesus, right? And when that happens, when you start to feel ugly inside, that's real. You got to listen to that. So now, let's just start to stop that garbage that is so gross that we're feeling physically making us ill in lots and lots and lots of ways. Now, it won't seem like much. I promise you, it won't seem like much. How you treat the person at the grocery store who gets in your way and who has 17 items in the 15 lane, right? If we extend them a little bit of kindness, it won't feel like much. But there's that old, and I'm going to call it a proverb. It's not a proverb, but I'm going to call it one. The person who, there's all these starfish on the sand. And there's a little girl who's picking them up and throwing them back in the ocean. And her dad comes up and says, what are you doing? And she says, I'm just throwing these back. You can't throw them all. What's the difference? It's not going to make any bit of difference. And she says, it made a difference to that one. Right? It's like a big, big pyramid scheme. You know what a pyramid scheme is? Like an Amway? You get somebody. Okay? Sylvia affects two people today. Those two people affect two people today. Those two people affect two people today. And on and on and on, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it's not just one starfish, it's the whole ocean. I believe that's how it happens. I believe that's why we're here. I believe that's why we live our life, why we are the church instead of why we come to church, because of a great big Amway pyramid scheme. Because we can change the world by how we treat the person that cut us off in the car. I believe that so deeply, so deeply. I believe that the way that we treat the checkout person at the Giant affects the world in ways we will never know, and that's what Tikkun Olam is. That's what repairing the world is. I don't need you to be the president of the United States changing all of the policy to make us love each other. It's got to come from a different way. So let's do that. Let's do that today. It's not going to seem like much, but it's got to start somewhere. So let's today say it starts with us. Right? It starts with us. Starts whenever we say it does. It starts whenever we stop hitting send without, or hitting post or share without saying, is this loving? Is this a fresh word? Is this healing? Why am I doing it? Right? It happens once we start to agape each other, when we stop saying, I'll pray for you, and start to get coats for people. Right? That's when things change. When you can tell the difference between the pigs and the people. Amen.
Please stand. Let's sing our song of the month.
You're faithful forever. You're faithful.
You're faithful then, you're faithful.